Amen. You know, Brother Love, you know, he's, I was telling him yesterday, you know, that he has a servant's heart. Amen. And the thing is to make the first step. Amen. You know, what you've done right now, it will propel you to destiny. And sometimes we just need a chance. You know, sometimes we think that we cannot make it. Next Sunday, we are going to have my youngest son, and he's going to present to us a song too. Amen? And he is doing pretty good. So do not look down on yourself. I remember years and years ago, when I was asked to preach the first sermon, I was a youth, I was in a member of a youth group in our church back in Kenya. And we were just starting this church, and when we started the church, there were so many youths that came, and I don't even know, there was a brother, a very good friend of mine, we used to work with him in the bank, and he saw, I don't know what he saw in me, and he said, you know what, prepare yourself, you're going to preach this coming Sunday. I said, me? I've never preached, I don't even know how to preach and what to tell people. So he said, no, you're going to do it, just like I told Joel. And let me tell you, it was a horrible, horrible mess. Because by the time I was actually shaking, I was sweating, every part of my body was shaking. And at the end of the service, he told me, this is what this brother told me. Now, what did you think you told us? Instead of encouraging me, he told me, what did you think you told us? But let me tell you, when he told me that, I told the Lord, Lord, if you've really earmarked me to preach the word of the Lord, help me so that I'll never bring shame to your name. Amen. And let me tell you, even to stand up here, I'm very, very anxious, you know, and very, sometimes I really don't know what to tell the people of God, because I take this very seriously when I'm speaking the word of the Lord, and I spend so much time, you know, to prepare and to make sure that I'm hearing what the Lord is speaking to me. And it all began with that one journey. I also remember several years ago, there was this great evangelist who came to our town. Most of you know her, Evangelist Wairimo. And she came, and I was doing a little interpreting, you know, for my bishop, you know, back in the church. And she came and sent out somebody, you know, one of our team organizers, and she said that she wanted me to be her interpreter. And this guy shows up, you know, where I was working, and she says, I've been sent by Evangelist Wairimo. By the time, you know, by the way, for you to hear that, sent by Evangelist Wairimo, it was a household name in Kenya. And she said, I've been sent by Evangelist Wairimo because she wants you to be her interpreter while she comes to Nakuru. And I said, what? I cannot even do this. You know, I cannot, I mean, I'm the poorest, I'm the least interpreters, you know, that there are known in our town. And actually even, I only interpret when there's nobody, because back in our church we used to have, you know, like, you know, other ministers who could do a better job. And I would only be called to interpret when they are not there. So, you know, so I felt like Gideon, you know, I didn't have it. But let me tell you, the moment I said, okay, if that's what the servant of the Lord says, okay, then I'll be there. And let me tell you, the next thing I'm finding myself, I'm in this big stadium, Afra Stadium, for those of you who know Nakuru, and there were many, but I've never seen such a crowd, you know, of people, and I've never done this. But let me tell you this. The moment I got hold of that microphone, it's like there was somebody who was telling me, you know, who was putting words in my mind of what to say after the evangelist. And let me tell you, it went so flawless. People came after the service and were saying that, Where have you been all these years? And I'm like, where have I been all these years? I've never done this. Praise the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is, never look down on what the Lord has given you. Amen? Because there's greatness in you. There are things that are yet to be explored in your life. And all you need to do is for somebody to give you a chance. Amen? The next time, you know, Sister Betty is going to stand here with a Bible preaching to us, you won't even believe that she's the one doing this. And get ready, Sister Betty, because you're going to preach too. You're going to minister the word of the Lord. Amen? Brother Joel, maybe he's going to join Rodrigo in playing the rhythm guitar. Amen? So don't look down upon yourself. We have greatness in us and unexplored potential. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's get out of that, and bring what the Lord has laid in my spirit. Today I want to speak about the Lord of the Storm. And I'm going to be very brief this morning. I'm not going to keep you long because I'm looking at the time. But yet, I also want us to go home fed spiritually. Praise the Lord. The Lord of the Storm is what I call, this is the message that I want to bring, to know that God is the God of our storm. He is the God in the storm, and He is the God who sees us through the storm. Amen? So I'll say it again. Our God is the God of any storm that we experience in our lives. He is the God in the storm, and He is the God who takes us through the storm. Praise the Lord. This past week has been a very, very rough week for me. And I was going through one of the greatest storms that I've ever experienced in my life. My wife and I, and sometimes you don't even understand why things come in our lives, you know. And there are certain times, you know, there are two kinds of storms that we can experience in our lives. There's a storm that would come out of disobedience. And there's a storm that can come in your life just because Jesus said to us that in this earth, we are going to encounter trouble. Amen? Now, when we disobey the Lord, and I'm thinking this morning, I was just thinking, you know, as I was preparing myself to come to church, I was thinking about storms, a storm that happened to one man, and his name was Job. And you all remember how God spoke to the man Job, and He told him He had sent out to Nineveh because the sins of the city had cried out before the Lord. And last Sunday we were exploring, and we found out the wickedness of a country or a nation can cry out to the Lord, and it can come before the presence of the Lord. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah cried out before the Lord. And you know the story about how God came to Abraham and He told him that the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah have come up to me. And I want to go to the city so that I can look and find it for myself. What is this that they have done to warrant their wickedness to come into my presence? And we saw how Abraham, our father Abraham, negotiated with the Lord. And you know, pleading with Him not to destroy the city. And he started pleading with Him all the way. And he's telling the Lord, suppose there would be 40 men, would You destroy the city? And he continued to plead with the Lord. And all the way down, I think, to about 10 people. And the Lord said that He would not destroy the city. And we found out that sometimes, you know, the wickedness of a city would cry out before the Lord. And this is the case also with Job, that Nineveh had committed so much sin and its wickedness came up before the Lord. And the Lord looked upon, the Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, I believe chapter number 16, that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the face of the earth looking for somebody who is strong enough or somebody who is committed to Him that He might use him. Amen. And he looked, his eyes ranged throughout the face of the earth, and they landed on the man Jonah. And the Lord spoke to Jonah, and He is telling Jonah, Jonah, the wickedness of Nineveh has come across me. Their wickedness, I can hear the voice of that, the wickedness of that city. And I'm sending you to Nineveh that you may declare salvation and repentance to that city. And you know what? And Jonah did like most of us do sometimes when we hear the voice of the Lord and we are not willing to obey. And you know what? Jonah decided, am I the only one who can go there? And he decided to go to another place called Tarshish. If you read in the book of first chapter of Jonah, the Bible says that he went to Joppa, where he paid a fare to go to Tarshish. And while they were in the he was on his way to Tarshish, there was a storm that pulled up in the sea. And you know what happened? These guys who are the owners of the ship wondered what could have happened to us, and they wondered and they worried because their lives were in danger. Praise the Lord. And so they're casting lot and to find out who had sinned against God, and the Lord falls on Jonah. And Jonah realized that he was running away from the presence of the Lord. You see, one thing when I read about Jonah, it gives me about, it talks about the compassionate of the Lord. And on the same time, it talks about how we cannot even run away from the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes we can do things that would think we are running away from the presence of the Lord. And this is exactly what Jonah was doing. He was running away from the presence of the Lord. And I can't remember who said that even when I go to the beds of hell, the Lord is still there. Amen. If I go to the oceans, if I go to any place, the presence of the Lord is always there. So there's no way we can run away from the presence of the Lord. The Bible calls it that He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Amen? And the presence of the Lord is right here. The presence of the Lord is near you. The presence of the Lord goes with you whenever you go. Amen? And the angels of God encamp round about you. His presence protects us even when we do not know it and when we know it. Amen? We don't have to be aware that the Lord is with us. But the fact of the matter is that He is surrounding you. He is going before you. He is coming on your side. He is protecting you behind. Amen? And the angels of the devil are planning evil against you every single moment of your life. If the enemy would be us today, you would not be here. But I thank God because His presence protects us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so Jonah is running away from the presence of the Lord. And so the owner of the ship and the crew within the ship cast lots. And they found out that Jonah had disobeyed the Lord. The Lord fell upon Jonah. And you know, Jonah didn't argue. He knew exactly what he had done. And he said, you know what? For your safety, I am the one who has wronged the Lord. And I'm running away from the presence of the Lord. So you just cast me away into the sea and it shall be well with you. But this man was compassionate. In spite of the turmoil that was in the sea, they were trying to find a dry land so that they can go and throw Jonah or abandon him in the land. They didn't want to just throw him into the sea because they knew, you know, that was like a death sentence. But eventually, they could not even find their way through the land. Many times when I've read this story, I thought, you know what, that they, you know, it was that when he was thrown into the sea, that, you know, God's was in the whole plan. And of course it was in the plan, but this is what happens when they threw him into the sea. The Lord prepared a fish, and the fish, the Bible says that he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, you know, and see the miracle of what happened, that while was in the belly of the fish, he never died. But there was so much that was going on in the belly of the fish. And there are so many things that we can talk about, but I don't want to dwell on that because that's not what I wanted us to look upon today. And the Bible says he was in the belly of the fish. He started praying and he started seeing how he had repented and he started seeing how he had ran away from the presence of the Lord. And think about this, about the compassionate of the Lord upon Jonah. The compassionate of the Lord concerning Nineveh. He didn't give up on this Nineveh because he needed somebody. You know, this is a story that needs to encourage us. That the Lord is willing to use anybody for the sake of a certain place. Amen? God can design to use you for the sake of your neighborhood. God can decide to use you for the sake of your community. Amen? God can use anybody on behalf of this nation. He just wants anybody who is available that He can use him. And He didn't give up on Jonah. When he called upon the name of the Lord, while he was in the womb, inside of this big whale, he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord had him. In fact, it says, I'm in agony. The weeds of the sea wrap around my neck. And I feel like I should not have disobeyed the Lord. And eventually, the Bible says that the Lord spoke to the whale. And he told the whale to go into dry land and vomit him there. And that's what happened. And when he was vomited into the dry land, you know, sometimes when I was reading this story, I thought that, you know what? That the Lord commanded the fish to go and cast and vomit him in Nineveh. But this is not what happened. The fish vomited him in dry land. And from that time, the Lord spoke the original words that he had instructed Jonah. He told him, now, can you go to Nineveh and declare repentance upon that city? And from that point, the Bible says that Jonah started finding his way through Nineveh, and he went there and he started preaching to the Ninevites, and he said 40 days all this city will be destroyed. And you know what happened? That they repented, and the Lord heard their cry and he saved the city. Amen. So in other words, there are storms that can come out of disobedience. But what I want to talk about, I want to talk about storms that come towards us, or storms that we experience in life, just because Jesus said that earth you're going to experience trouble. Amen? The fact of the matter is, if you'd be truthful or honest with me, you have gone through a storm in your life. Amen? Storms that you didn't know how you'd come out. And nobody ever loves the raging storm. When we are in the storm, we wonder how it feels to be out of the storm. When I was going through this storm last week, it was bad. I mean, it looked like, it was like a very, very great mountain to me. And I wondered, at that point, I realized that I was really helpless. And I knelt down before the Lord in my closet. And I told the Lord, if you do not come in this situation, there's absolutely nothing that I can do concerning this. I don't have any ability. I don't have any strength. I don't have any wisdom left. I don't have any knowledge. But unless you come, Lord, and deliver me and take me through this storm, Lord, I cannot make it. And let me tell you, I am still here because the Lord eventually, he hearkened unto my prayer and he came through in a miraculous way. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know how many of you who might be going through a storm, or you may have gone through a storm. Sometimes I felt sick in my life, you know, many, many years I remembered, you know, when sometimes I was sick. It could be maybe a severe cold. It could be maybe some ache in your body. And, you know, whenever you're sick, sometimes you don't even have a clue of how it feels to be well. You know, you long for that time when you're well. You may have been going through some financial troubles. It could be maybe disappointments. It could be maybe the storm of loneliness, and you wondered how it feels to be without loneliness. You wondered how it would feel to be without financial trouble, and you looked for solutions, and you looked for ideas, and you called people so that they would come and probably empathize and probably even help you. But there was no help. But I'm here to encourage us this morning that God is the God of the storm. God is the God in the storm. And God is the one who is responsible to take us through the storm. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to put it to you, church, that not every storm ought to be cast out. And sometimes, you know, we find ourselves so busy rebuking the forces of the devil while the Lord intended for that storm to come through us. Amen? Sometimes the Lord would allow a storm to come through our lives, and because he wants maybe to develop character in our lives, maybe he wants to grow some quality and some traits in our lives. Praise the Lord. And it is actually as a consequence of going through a storm that you realize, oh my goodness, I didn't know that I had patience. I didn't know that I would withstand this kind of a torment and torture that I had that I just went through. Sometimes the Lord will allow a storm to come through us because he has a intention of refining us and causing us to go through the storm, so that when we come through the storm, we'll be as refined as gold. Praise the Lord. And I read a portion, you know, when I was researching this message, I found out somebody who had made a quote, and he said, you know, sometimes, you know, we might be praying for the Lord to quiet the storm. But sometimes the Lord may allow the storm to be there, but quiet us. Oh, and I love this. That, you know, you might be going through a storm, but there's a peace within your heart that surpasses all understanding. And people might look at you and they might wonder, how is he surviving? He has been without a job for a year. He has been without a job for 3 years. He has been sick. He has been in torments. He has tried to apply this and that job, and he has not found anyone. But still, he still survives. When I meet this sister, there is a smile on her face. When I see this brother, he is joyous and he has an eagerness to serve the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has steeled him, but allowed the storm to rage in his life. Praise the Lord. He is the God who takes you through through the storm. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, my sister. I don't know what you're going through, my brother. I don't even know what might come to you in the week's time. I don't even know what might come to you in the month's time. But I want you to edify this afternoon to know that you're God who will take you home. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church. This is that I read about when there was this Hurricane Katrina. And I want to read this story. It's a short story. Well, Hurricane Katrina headed towards the coast of Mississippi. A retired pastor and his wife left their home and went to a shelter. Their daughter pleaded with them to go to Atlanta where she could take care of them. This is a true story. But the couple couldn't get any money to make the trip because the banks were closed. After the storm had passed, they returned to their home to get a few belongings, and they were able to salvage only a few family photos floating in the water. Then, when the man was taking his father's photo, in other words, you know, his father's photo, out of his frame because it was submerging in the water, so it could dry, there were $366 that fell out, precisely the amount that they needed to book for two plane tickets to Atlanta. They learned that they could trust Jesus for what they needed. Amen. Sometimes when you go you're going through a storm, you're looking on your left, you're looking on your right, and all you see is rain coming down because there is a storm. And when you look in the front of you, you only can see the eye of the storm. And sometimes you don't see anything. You are really catapulted forces of the storm. You might actually be in the eye of the storm. But you know what? You might be going through the eye of the storm, but you have such a peace in your life. Why? Because God is in the eye of the storm. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God, there's provision in the storm. I want you to know there is grace in the storm. I want you to know that there are answers. If we can wait long, there are answers in the storm. The storm is never intended to come and kill you. The storm is never intended to come and wipe you. That if we can hold fast, in spite of everything that is going on around us, the storm is going to pass. And when it passes, we shall look at ourselves and say, how did I even go through that storm? Did my house not go on a foreclosure? Even while I didn't even have money to pay, God sends divine connections to come and protect us. God sends divine connectors to come and supply for you, even while you are in that storm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. I'm here to remind you that a storm never lasts forever. If you're going through a storm, I want you to know that it has, somebody said, that every trouble has an expiry date. Amen. And I love it that every trouble that you have, it one day will come to an end. Amen. The agony that you might be going through that might not even be understood by anybody. You know, there's these times when we go through things that you don't even want to share with anybody because you don't think that anybody would understand what you're going through. But I'm here to encourage you that even that trouble you might be going through, even that storm will come to pass, and it has an expiry date, praise the Lord. It will not last forever. But in the midst of the storm, that we are supposed to seek the Lord and run unto him for shelter, praise the Lord. And he will protect you, and you will endure, praise the Lord. I love what Isaiah 25 says, Isaiah verse number 4 to 5. This is what the Bible says. For you have been a strong place for those who could not help themselves. God is a God of those who are not able to help themselves. Amen. You know, there was this saying when I was growing up, a saying that used to say that God, you know, helps those who are able to help himself. No, God is a God of those who are not able to help themselves. Amen. And you realize, what can we do if the Lord will never give us the strength? How can we do things unless the Lord provides for ways of doing those things? So the Lord is the God of people, is the God of those who are not able to do anything for themselves. And that is what Isaiah is telling us. Amen? And for those who are in need because of much trouble, you have been a safe place from the storm and a shadow from the heat. Oh God, I'll repeat that again. Hallelujah. And God is for those, For you have been a strong place for those who could not help themselves, and for those in need because of much trouble. You have been a safe place from the storm, and a shadow from the heat. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, like when it's so hot during the day, and when a cloud passes over you, and suddenly there is coolness. Praise the Lord. God is putting himself like that cloud, that even when it is so hot, when you wonder, where am I going to get even some water to cool my tongue, because everything around me is so hot, God is like that cloud that comes and shelters you from the sun. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible calls him a safe place. It is a place that we can run. It is a place that we can hide ourselves and find shelter. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory be to Jesus. And you know what? We all experience terrible storms in our lives. And sometimes it is necessary to shelter from those storms. Praise the Lord. But sometimes it is also necessary for us to stand up in the midst of the storm so that we can see his goodness. Praise the Lord. And I sing a song and say, I thank God for the mountains that I'm going through. Amen. And I thank God for the valleys that I cross. And if I never cross those mountains, I would never know how God would help me climb up those mountains. Amen. Now I thank God for the mountains. I even thank him for the valleys. He lets me see. If I hadn't any problems, I would never know how God would solve them. I would never know what my faith in God would do. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon His. Amen. That through it all, I've learned to depend upon him. Amen? Hallelujah. So sometimes it is also necessary for us to stand up in the midst of the storm and to face it and experience what it is doing for us. Amen? What is the significance of that storm in your life? God might have a purpose for that storm. Maybe when you are through that storm, you'll be more patient. Maybe when you're going through that storm, you'll even learn, to love more. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's good to experience the significance of that storm as it comes through your life. Amen? We also try to understand the mystery of God's presence in the storms that we experience. It is very important for us to experience the mystery, because how can you explain the provision in the midst of the storm? How can you explain to the world how your head has been above the water while you've been going all through all those trouble? You understand the mystery of provision. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in the first chapter of James that, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Amen. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking anything. Amen. You know, that chapter of the book of James doesn't make any sense, because who wants through trial? I don't want to go through trial. Amen. I know you, Shiko, you don't want to go through trial. Because trial brings pain. Trials bring suffering, you know. It brings a disconnection from people. And sometimes when you're going through suffering, somebody may want to identify with you. In fact, it is through the time of the process of going through trials and suffering and pain that you know who your true friends are. Amen? That's when this saying that says a friend in need is a friend. That is when it is proven. That is when it is authenticated. That is when you know your friends. Because as a matter of fact, not everybody who says is your friend is your friend. A friend will be tested when you're going through a test. Amen? That, are they willing to stand with me in the midst of this storm? Are they willing to pray for me and to call me and to come and help me when I'm in the midst of the storm? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is when we authenticate our friends. And I thank God for this scripture, that it is, we should count it joy when we fall into various trials, when we experience different trials in our lives, because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, There's a story that is told, and you know this story, in the book of Mark, chapter 4, 35 to 41. I don't even want to talk about this story because you've heard it over and over and over again. It is a very busy day for Jesus and his disciples, okay? And they're ministering to people. And towards the evening, Jesus is tired, his disciples are tired, and they want to disconnect. There are many people that were around him, and they just wanted to seclude and go ahead and hang out and just recharge. And so he's telling his disciples, you know what, prepare yourselves. We want to go the other side of the sea to get away from the people. And as they're going there, Jesus is tired, and, you know, naturally, that tells us he was God and still human. He falls asleep. And in the middle of the sea, there is a wind that comes, and the sea becomes so chaotic, and the boat is tossed from left to right, and the disciples are so scared and they are so worried, and Jesus is sleeping on a pillow, you know, at the bottom somewhere on this boat, and the boat is rocked from every direction. Amen. And they are troubled, and they are kind of feeling like, do we wake him up? But they got to a point whereby it really was actually to an extent that they almost felt that they were going to lose their lives. And so they are going and tapping the master. And they are coming to him, and they are telling him, hey, Jesus, don't you care? You're still sleeping. We're almost dying here. And Jesus wakes up, and I believe he was, oh, what's going on? What's all this? And he's waking up in the midst of a raging sea. And Jesus speaks to the ocean, and he tells him, still be still. Quiet. Amen? And suddenly it quiets him. Let me tell you, church, there are some times we might be in a storm, and you wonder, is Jesus really caring? I don't know how many of you have been in a situation whereby you are in a storm or in the eye of the storm, and you even felt like Jesus or God or the presence of the Lord is quite distant. The fact of the matter, Jesus is not distant. He is in the storm too, because Jesus was in the storm. Amen. And as he wakes up and he looks at what is happening, he quiets the sea. And after he quiets the sea, it is like I was asking God, okay, what does this mean? And the next statement that comes out of his mouth, you know what he said? What did he tell them? Where is your faith? Yeah, you'd even wonder. You know, naturally, you'd think that maybe Jesus would apologize and say, next time you find me sleeping and things like this happen, please wake me up because I don't want you to die. You know, don't you feel like that is exactly what you expect Jesus to tell his disciples? You know, and then Peter was saying, well, you see now you are the one that you are depending upon. How can you dare sleep in such a situation? But Jesus spoke and said, where was your faith? In other words, do you want to tell me that the winds or the forces of the nature came up and didn't recognize the presence of Jesus in the boat? Oh, let me tell you. He was God. Amen? And I see the reason why there was this raging sea was to test their faith. There's some times when storms will come to test our faith. How strong am I? In the midst of calamity, in the verge of just giving my God, dying, would I still depend upon God? Would I still say that God is my Lord and I'm prepared to die and I cannot give up and I'm willing to stand and to say that God is my salvation and God is my protector, God is the one who I serve, and I know he will come through for me. Am I willing to be in such a safe place? Because in the book of Isaiah, he's telling us that he is a safe place in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. And he wakes up, and instead of apologizing, which if I was in the boat, I would expect Jesus to apologize and say, oh, I'm so sorry that I fell asleep. You know, we had a busy day. But the next words he says, where is your faith? Storm was never meant to come and kill them. The storm was never meant to come, even while Jesus was on that boat, to terminate their lives. Amen. But it was meant to come and test their faith. And they wondered. The Bible says that they wondered and asked themselves, "Who is this that even speaks to the sea and it obeys?" it gives them a lesson that we can also speak to certain things and they can obey us. Amen. I'm sure the next time there was a mountain in their life, they would have that as a point of reference, that I will do as the master did and I'll speak to my situation. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church, listen to me carefully. There are bound to be situations that will come in your life that will cause you to open up your mouth and speak to those things. Amen? We might be going through a storm, but have you had an opportunity while you're all alone in a secluded place in your corner of your house or maybe in the bathroom? I don't even know where you go, but tell the Lord, Lord, I speak to this situation. I'm speaking to this drunkenness. I'm speaking to this joblessness. I'm speaking to this situation right now by the power and authority that you've given me. Be still. Hallelujah. Be still. Be still. Hallelujah. There are things that I'm telling the Lord, be still right now. There are things that I'm telling the Lord. I'm telling the Lord. I'm using what he did and I'm telling these situations, be still. Maybe in my life, maybe in the community, in the way I'm living, I'm telling the Lord to help me to utter those words with faith. Amen. Hallelujah. So they're tested of their faith. Remember Daniel? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went through King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, in chapter 3, the Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow before him. Amen? But you know what? These guys, they decided bowing before King Nebuchadnezzar would be unfaithful to their God. Hallelujah. And this is exactly, I love this. They told King Nebuchadnezzar. They told Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. Because they have been brought before Nebuchadnezzar because they have been found not to bow before him. And he was asking them, why don't you bow before me? And they told him, we don't need to answer you regarding this situation. Amen? If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of the blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, O king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. Amen? This was the punishment that was supposed to be put in a fiery furnace that was 7 times harder. But they said, you know what? We cannot be unfaithful because bowing to you as King Nebuchadnezzar would cause us to be unfaithful to our God. Amen? And so there was a storm that was raging. And I could see these young men. Maybe they had some doubts coming to them. Oh, do we bow? Oh, am I willing to really go in here? But they made a choice, and they decided that in this storm, that God is there saying that God is the same one who is able to rescue us from this storm. But even if he is not going to rescue us, we know that we're in a safe place. Hallelujah! In the middle of the storm. He is a safe place. God is our safest place. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so their faith is tested. And you know what happened at the end of the story? They are put up there and not even their hair was smitten by fire. And God came to rescue them. Amen. And there was a thought that has come up that is put down. I put down here. How do you know if you are faithful unless you are tempted with unfaithfulness? How would you know that you are faithful? How would you know that you're faithful if you're not tested with unfaithfulness? They were tested with unfaithfulness to bow before King Nebuchadnezzar, but they came out with flying colors because they chose to be faithful before the Lord. As we conclude, because of our time, I also want to bring you can be in a storm to test your patience. Amen? And we have read about the book of Job, how Job went through so much. In fact, the Bible calls that Job excelled in patience. I love it because he was tested in patience. You know, he went through so much. And you know the story of Job, you know, and we've talked about this many times. His friends just came and actually his wife just came and told him, you know, just give up. I mean, give up on this God and let him kill you. You know, why can't you go through all this? But Job never sinned, even in the calamity that he went through. And eventually we know what happened to Job. Amen? Praise the Lord. We can also be going through a storm that tests our endurance. Our endurance. Praise the Lord. In the 2 Corinthians 11, 24-27. This, I would like us to read this because this captivated my heart. Amen? 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 27. And I will conclude with this. Now, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 27. This is Paul. He was explaining to the Corinthians of the storms that he had passed through his life. Amen? And this is what he says. I don't know whether you would identify with this. 5 times I have received from the Jews, and I want you to know that he was also a Jew. I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 5 times. So you can multiply how many lashes that he had received through those 5 times that, you know, they frogged him and beat him 39 lashes. Now, the kind of lashes I'm talking about, the lash, you know, had to have some bones at the end of it and some tips of metal, so that when, and those metals had hooks on them. And once, you know, that landed on your body, they would pull it up and it would come up with flesh. So you can imagine what happened on his back. On his back had so much damage and wounds. And this is what he says, 5 times I've received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Amen. Think about that. And this is a guy, man. He went through all these things. You know? Sometimes we go through storms of endurance. God wants to say, can you endure for my sake? Amen? So what is the storm that what is the kind of a storm that you're going through? Ask the Lord, what are you testing me in this? Are you really testing my patience? Are you testing my endurance? Are you testing my faith? Lord, give me the grace to go through this storm, because you're the God of the storm. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't even have time to talk about the storm that we might go through to test our willingness to sacrifice. You know how Abraham was told by God to go and sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And deep inside of him, there is a storm that even caused him to separate with his wife. It's not narrated, but Sarah is not even in the picture. Amen. But Abraham takes up his son. At one stage, the son looks at his daddy, because they had done this before, offering sacrifices to the Lord. And he looks at him and he says, okay, I can see the wood and I can see the fire and I can see, you know, everything that is related to the altar and the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And imagine what was going through in his mind. Did God really say this? A storm raging within his heart. You know, you might not just necessarily experience a physical storm, but there could be a storm raging within your heart. Lord, are you really saying this? Lord, am I going to make it? A storm raging in your heart. Amen. So this afternoon, as we dismiss, I'd like you to know that no matter what kind of a storm you're going to go through, no matter what kind of a storm you're going through right now, that God is the God of your storm. Amen. He is the God in the storm. He doesn't just see you going into the storm and he says, oh, you know what? I'll let him go with himself this time. He goes in the storm with you. Amen? And he is a God who is going to sustain you even through the storm. Hallelujah. He is faithful. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet, church. He is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He sustains you through the storm. He brings answers in the storm. He comes to show up and show you off that I am the God of the storm. I am the God in the storm. I'm the God taking you through the storm. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When you go through the storm, it is true you might be smelling fire, but you still be here. Amen. Your clothes might be torn. Actually, the roof of your house might even be damaged. You might even look like you have been beaten up. But guess what? You're still breathing the fresh air from the Lord. You're still alive. Because the storm has no power to kill you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word that Lord, that you are the God of the storm, that you are the God in the storm, that you are the God who takes us through the storm. Lord, I want to lift up each and every person who is here, who has gone through a storm, O Lord. I pray that you shall encourage each one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may you know that, may we safe place in the middle of the storm, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to make you our shelter, our hiding place, in the name of Jesus, that no matter what we feel that we are going through, that Lord, you sustain us, that Lord, you see us through, in the name of Jesus. And every storm will come, but it will pass. Every trouble that will come has an expiry date, in the name of Jesus. And we are looking forward, my God, with hope and expectancy that you are bringing through this, in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare and decree that whatever problems and trouble that your people are going through, that God, you shall sustain them, that God, you shall prove them, that God, you shall bring out gold out of them, you shall bring out silver out of them, you shall bring, you're making diamonds out of them, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Be their stronghold. Be their encouragement. Whisper to them, Lord, when they cannot, almost not hear your voice, when all they can hear are the raging waters in the storm. Father, let them know that you are there in the storm, to the glory and honor of your name. Father, we thank you and we bless you. You might be here and you know what? You know what you're going through and you want us to pray and agree together. While every eye is closed, I would like you to lift up your hand and we would like to pray together. It might be somebody that you know that is going through some storm of some nature and you want to stand on their behalf. Lift up your hand and we are going to agree together. It might be somebody who is sick back home. It might be somebody that know that that needs the hand of God to bring them through whatever they're going through. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for all those hands, O Lord. You know what those hands represent. I pray in the name of Jesus that you shall bring comfort, you shall bring peace, and you shall bring encouragement, yes, to the peoples that are represented by those hands. In the name of Jesus, may they know that you are the God of the storm. May they know that you are the God in the storm. May they know that you are bringing them through the storm, in the name of Jesus. We send your word into their situations. We send your word into their world, oh God. Even when they feel discouraged, even when they feel like giving up, Lord, may you remind them that you will never leave them nor forsake them, in the name of Jesus Christ. May you lift their heads up, oh God. You are the bishop of their souls, in the name Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. May your presence and come round above, in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for every family here, O Lord. I want to pray for every individual who might be going through a storm, dear Father. I pray that you shall encourage them. I pray that you shall be with them, O Lord. Make them aware that you're the God of the storm, that you're the God in their storm, and that you're bringing them through the storm, in the name of Jesus. Father God, as you did for me this week, Lord, as you did for my family, and you came miraculously, that God, when this story is told, nobody will have any doubt to know that surely you are the God who brings us through storms, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I bless you because your name is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and find safety. We give you praise, we give you glory. For we pray this believing and trusting in Jesus' strong name. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. He is the God of your storm. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.